Hello, everybody. My name is Aj. I'm a druid from Ireland, and I'm very busy with the Save Tara campaign. We're trying to divert the road that's going to be built, the toll road, away from Tara Hill. So if any of you can help out with this, please go to our website at www.tarascreen.org, and please help us to save the heart of Ireland from having a scar gouged right across it. I believe there are 40 million Americans that claim Irish descent. This concerns each and every one of you. Please help save Tara, and thank you for listening to Ghostly Talk.
You are invoking the spirits to help you, but the forces they represent are so sinister and powerful. You shall be a toy in their hands.
get enough ghostly talk? You go to addunderground.com and click on Slack and Radio every Monday night at 9 p.m. Eastern Time to check out past shows of Ghostly Talk.
Ghostly Talk, and I'm Doug.
I'm Scott L.
And I'm Bonnie.
On the phone, we have Kevin Cogbill of Ghost Investigations Colorado. Mm-hmm. That's co.ghostinvestigations.com. Mm-hmm. So note, there's no www. So it's http://co.ghostinvestigations.com. Kevin Cogbill is a member of GI Colorado. GI Colorado has over 15 years' experience in dealing with the paranormal and 10 years of field investigation experience in businesses and residences. Kevin has recently began a joint venture project called AREA, Afterlife Research and Evidence Analysis, wherein himself and or a very few other experienced investigators are taking submitted photos, video, audio, and any other evidence from teams that they aren't sure of and give them a detailed report on what we believe it may be, para or not, and the possible causes.
And that sounds like quite a task to take on there. Kevin, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Scott.
I'm sorry.
it's quite an undertaking, but we're looking forward to it.
Well, when did you guys actually start this up? Was this project a very recent project you guys are working on?
It's a very recent project. It was just me and a couple other guys that I've known for quite some time. I've just been noticing that a lot of a lot of the websites to check out other teams, and I'm noticing a lot of people put up a lot of pictures that are very explainable, put up a lot of EVPs that are very explainable, that have obvious natural causes, and it just seems that these groups are great at going out and collecting what they believe to be evidence, but nobody's really shown them how to analyze it, to pick out, natural explanations.
Well, that's where a lot of your work goes into also is going into the analysis. I think that the majority of the work goes into analyzing. I know I spent the most of my time analyzing stuff. That's where a lot of time goes into, Doug.
Well, I want to say, Kevin, now, of course, that we're on the air, you're breaking up.
Yeah, the phone's breaking up on us now.
Of course.
But I think that that's to be expected. But we're going to continue on.
Yeah, we're going to keep going.
And we're gonna chalk it up to equipment failure, just like you're on a ghost hunt, right?
Okay.
So and we're going to do our best to
make it sound better.
Take the highs out and that kind of thing, or add highs, whatever we have to do. Mm-hmm. The other thing is aren't you asking for an avalanche of photographs? I mean, it seems like if everybody on the internet decided to send you a photograph, one photograph, you would have an avalanche. And I know we get a lot of photographs ourselves. And I'm wondering are you just, what if somebody sent you just literally hundreds of photographs and you're supposed to analyze each one? You're really taking a huge... putting yourself way out there, trying to get
all the work. That's like the equivalent to me going, okay, everybody email me with this thing, and then I check my inbox an hour later, and I spend the next day and a half going through emails and reading everything and responding back to it.
Well, we're actually, we're hoping we get to that point. I don't think we're going to get too many submissions right off the bat, but we're hoping that folks will send us photographs that they think are paranormal, that they're just, not sure about, not just send us, the rolls of film.
Yeah.
Or their entire memory card from their investigation.
Well, I, I've, I think that's a good thing, you guys. Don't everybody send in everything. Pick out the really, really good ones, the ones that you really don't know about. You're just unsure of. You're like, I got this thing, and I just don't know what it is. I've asked 17 people, and now I need an expert. I need somebody who's been doing this for 15 years to look at this and tell me what they think it is and give a report on what mundane causes can cause that.
Absolutely. And we're hoping that, you know, we can help people learn to be able to do it themselves through it. We're when they send in their audio or their video or their pictures, we're planning on, you know, looking at it and sending them back a detailed report on not only what we think it is, but why and how it causes that effect. So they can start to learn a little bit and learn to do it themselves.
Well, here's something, just to give people an idea of what you guys are working on. Okay, how could I set this scenario up without sounding like a complete fool?
Start with 1800s.
Okay.
And work your way up to today.
Oh. Wow, I just got blown out. What I'm trying to think of is if, how you, I mean, as far as the process, I don't know if you guys have like a real process put in place for this, but you receive a piece of media. Let's just say for example's purposes, you receive a photo of something. Let's just say you receive a notorious orb photo. You receive a photo with an orb on it. Okay.
Creepy cemetery orbs. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh yeah. They're very scary. I know. You receive a cemetery orb picture. We'll say it was shot in a cemetery, and the orb itself. I mean, I'm not trying to quiz you here. Don't take me the wrong way. I'm not trying to quiz you. The orb itself, the characteristics of the orb is it's kind of jagged on the edges, right? It's kind of jagged on the edges, and it's translucent. You can kind of see through it a little bit. So I send you this picture, and I go, Kevin, dude, I don't know what's going on here, man, but I need to come to the best. I need to come to see the best people on the planet, and I heard that Kevin Cogbill, in his new project area, you were the guys to visit about this. So here's the picture. You take a look at it, and let me know what you guys get, right? So after that, I mean, obviously, I don't know what you guys are doing. If you care to share this with us, how would you guys approach this? Do you guys have like some big corporate meeting or something like that? Or, I mean, I don't know how you guys would approach that.
Well, we have a questionnaire first off. The short questionnaire just about the conditions and the environment it's in. So if it's outdoor, and I'm guessing this is probably at night because most people don't go stomping around cemeteries during the day.
Mm-hmm.
Well, no, I think most people do. We don't.
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. So we'd send out the questionnaire. When we got it back, we'd go from there. We've got there's quite a few of us actually involved in this project right now. So it would go to the person that was available that we felt was the best with photography, which would probably be one of the guys we have involved in Missouri, goes by the name of Eclectic. And he'd take a look at it, analyze the EXIF data if there was any. You know, see how long the exposures were, all that fun stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And it sounds like what you're describing sounds like kicked up dust to me.
Mm-hmm.
So if we came to that conclusion, we'd, you know, fill out the form and send it back to the original sender with exactly, you know, numbered reasons why we feel it is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
And that's pretty much the process.
We've got
three main parties and some groups under us that are going to be working with us, and that's about it.
since we're talking about this notorious orb shot, which of course is a huge...
Which I can't see, so...
Well, it's not ours. He made that one up in his head. But there is one kind of orb...
The voices told me to do that.
The voices told you?
Yes. Mm.
There's one kind of orb that I have a question of my own, and I don't think I've voiced this to anybody in about 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
What about the kind of orb that you can see that it's obviously behind something else? Something else is in front of the orb. What's in front of the orb is completely crystal clear. It's in focus, looks good, but the orb is behind it. I can dismiss to dust all kinds of orbs, right? Mm. Literally.
Well, airborne particles or moisture, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But would a digital camera or even an SLR camera, would it render, because that's all it's doing is rendering information that it gathered through a sensor, the CCD sensor.
Well, you're shooting this on digital, right? That's where
guess it doesn't matter. What if something is in front of the orb? How can it render something behind something else without, because if it's going to render it, wouldn't it render it flat? I don't know why orbs would appear with something in front of them.
Mm-hmm.
Are you're just talking about depth perception? I'm not really understanding your question, I don't think.
Well, it would be depth perception in that case of the camera, but, I mean, the camera renders an orb behind something else.
The orb's either partially exposed or the thing in front of it is clear. It also wouldn't be showing up, correct?
Well, what I think Doug's saying also, Kevin, is you may be able to see, like, well, I mean...
I've seen two pictures like this.
Okay.
Out of all the billions of orbs I've seen, mm-hmm. right, and mm-hmm. taken myself, mm-hmm. I've seen two pictures like this. One was at Mansfield, and that I took by myself, and one was on the Internet. Somebody sent us a picture,
mm-hmm.
and they sent it to us in the email. And what's interesting about these, I've only ever seen two of them, and there's something in front of the orb. So the orb is in the background.
Mm-hmm.
And it's clear that, you know, you don't get, like, a semicircle. You have the full circle. You have a full orb, but there's something in front of it. And you can see either, if the thing is horizontal that's in front of it, you see on the top and the bottom, you see the orb in the background. If the thing is vertical, you see the sides. If the thing is slanted, you see, you know, the upper quadrant or the upper left and lower right quadrant, whatever. You see that the orb is obviously obstructed by something. And that's the only kind of orb that I've not been able to figure out.
I think I got what you're saying here. Look, you know, anything that's in the air, any kind of airborne particle or moisture that's illuminated in any way can show up as an orb on a camera. So it doesn't really matter if it's going to be in front or behind or to the side or underneath anything. I mean, it could be off in the distance. Most of the false orbs we get are pieces of dust that are right up against the lens. And that's what, you know, they look larger and such. But, I mean, sometimes I've gotten pictures from people that are lights in the distance that look like just flashlights, or when I ask for a comparison shot during the day, it looks like, you know, it's off in a bunch of trees. There's a street light back there.
Mm-hmm.
Catching. There's, you know, plenty of reasons. It's just, yeah. Harder to explain without actually being able to look at.
Understandable.
If I get a chance, I'll dig one out and send it in. Then we can report on it.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, you can say,
I'll write your report.
My orb shot was just, you know, well, I don't know, a butterfly flapped its wings in Tasmania or something. But what about, okay.
Well,
that's good.
That's good for photos. I mean, now as far as audio is concerned.
Yeah, have we got something?
Well, actually,
you
know what? There's a question. I think there was a question in the chat room.
There was a question in the chat
room.
There
was a question. I don't want to neglect this. Let's see here. It's right there.
Ghost of UK.
Yeah, our man.
Wants to know, what about an hour after it stops raining?
Like as far as photos
are
concerned.
Well, there's still moisture in the air. It depends on the surrounding. I mean, you can still have mist or moisture falling off the trees. If it's been raining at all during the day, you're going to pick up moisture in pictures.
Mm-hmm.
Especially if you're moving around, you're going to kick it up. I mean, you don't see it in the form of mist, but that flash is going to reflect back at you. Absolutely, an hour after it's been raining. It's not a good time to take pictures.
So in that case, while dust is going to be fairly under control because of the moisture in the air, there's moisture in the air.
You got water.
So yeah. Either way, you're pretty much...
SOL.
SOL.
Yeah. Absolutely.
You shouldn't be shooting photos
an hour
after rain. Now, as far as, I mean, we talked about the photo stuff. What about audio, too? You said you guys start taking submissions for pretty much any type of evidence here.
If I wanted to submit some audio to you, would I have to do, like, 5 minutes with the EVP or the suspected EVP in the middle or just the clip? Or how would you want an audio submission?
Well, we'd like an audio submission with probably a minute prior to and a minute afterwards, just so we can pick up on the sounds, the natural sounds that were present in the situation. So, yeah, not just the clip of the suspected EVP, but a little before and a little bit after, just to give us a better idea where we're coming from.
If I'm ever to gripe about something, it's that. I mean, and it's not knocking anybody's work at all, but I mean, I know the clips that I try that I think may be anomalous in nature that I've recorded with my recorder. I always try when I clip it off and go, okay, here, you know, I found something weird here. I always try to give it at least a few minutes of bleed on both ends, just so you can hear the environment, hear the people talking if there's people talking there, hear the noises in the background, because I always try to note, you know, like, okay, there's cars back here, or there's a party going on back here or whatever. So you can get a feel for that, and then when the occurrence happens, you can hear how anomalous it may be in the environment of that recording. A lot of people clip them off. A lot of people clip them right off on the end. And I mean, there's nothing wrong with doing that. I think for evidence purposes, clip it out like that, but have
so that people can get the overview.
Yeah.
But if you're submitting for analysis, you want a minute before, at least a minute before and a minute after.
I mean, you've seen the work
I've done. That's key. I mean, you can't just send in clips. It could be anything, you know. There's no way to analyze that. So, especially if you're doing conversational EVP where you're asking questions and getting responses.
Mm-hmm.
I've had people that, you know, they just send in the EVP.
Yeah.
Send the questions in and try to loop it, you know. Absolutely, you're right. You need to do that.
I think we're going to get deluged by email from the UK. Ghost is also asking, what about format? MP3, WAV, or would the actual tape? What kind of format do you prefer?
Well, we've got equipment with wonderful programs like Audacity. You know, we can open pretty much any file format. But your basic, your more general file formats, you know, MP3 and WAV are going to be the best for us. MP3 is a little more compact, but
that's my concern with that, though, too. As far as MP3 is concerned, I mean, I know the recorders that I've bought. I've bought two digital recorders in the past. And I've made sure that the output that you take when you USB it or whatever, or you brain it into your computer, is WAV format. So it's the strongest signal you're going to get.
It has the
most information. Not knocking your recorder, Doug, because I know you have an MP3 recorder, but we've heard the difference between, like, we've taken both these recorders, put them in an area, and then played them back. And, I mean, they record
the time is a control. But
yeah, it's a good control. I like WAV myself. If I was part of Area, I'm like, I want WAV.
What a hint.
Would you guys take cassettes also if somebody wanted to send you a cassette or something like that?
That would be a little tougher as we don't have a mailing address.
Oh boy! Yeah, all right, so we're narrowed down to WAV and MP3. People, get used to it.
Yeah, we're going online. I mean, there's ways. If you've got your EVP on a cassette, you can link it to your computer.
Yeah.
And, you know, just record it onto there. Of course, the quality's not going to be as great, but there's ways to do it.
But I think that if you have it on a cassette, you're going to want to read it into digital eventually anyway, because as you play a cassette, it'll stretch and it loses.
And you know how nice we are? You know how nice we are, Doug?
Huh.
Right here, Kevin, with Kevin allowing us to do this, we'll tell you how it's done. It's very, very simple. Do you want to explain this, or do you want me to explain it?
Well, you go to the electronics store and you get either a mono to stereo or a stereo to stereo cable right at the electronics store.
Mm-hmm.
A popular one here in the U.S. starts with R&S,
mm-hmm.
and we're there a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And you plug it into the headphone jack
on the radio or whatever you're playing the cassette with.
Of the cassette and cassette player, and then you have to mess with it quite a bit, and you launch Audacity. Audacity.sourceforge.net.
And I was just going to say, concerning Audacity, these people, is there some kind of endorsement? Because we've been pissed these guys for the last 4 years, man.
We should write to the Audacity people and say, thank you.
Well, everywhere we go, when we talk, we go to an EVP seminar, Kevin, or something like that, people, one of the number one questions people ask is, well, what kind of software should I use?
And because with Windows Media Recorder, you can only record it 30 seconds or 60 seconds.
Yeah, it's lame. Yeah. There's no flexibility with it. But I always hear a lot of people that give these presentations like, well, you can go out and spend $8,000 on, you know, the newest and latest and greatest version of Audition. And I'm like, well, wait a minute. I'm raising my hand going, I know a website, http://audacity.sourceforge.net, where you can download a program with the full functionality as Audition for free.
It just looks different, and it's free.
Yeah. In my opinion, it's easier to use. It really is easier to use. It's a lot. It's more of a stripped-down version. So basically,
You launch Audacity, now you have to play with it because you have a volume control on your tape player, and you've got to have it usually somewhat start in the middle, and then start recording from Audacity and look at the levels, and it should be pretty much full, but it should not
keep it within the black line.
Keep it within the line, the top and
bottom
line.
You don't want to peak it because you'll have interference.
You don't want flat on the top and flat on the bottom. You want it to bounce. You want it to be.
That's a healthy signal, as we call it in our industry.
Exactly.
Basically, that's the way to do that. Sorry, Kevin. We thought it'd be helpful to explain that to everybody if they want to send you something.
Of course.
Another thing too, we've had a couple more questions in the chat room here too, and this is going to be I'm gonna phrase this in corporate terms. Are you ready for this, Kevin? You're gonna love
this.
What is your turnover like? How long does it take for you to analyze a photo or a piece of audio and send it back to the customer?
Well, that all depends on whether or not there's an obvious explanation for it. You know, a lot of times, an untrained eye can't really pick out obvious explanations for things.
Mm-hmm.
If there's something there, if there's a mirror that it's obviously reflecting off of onto the wall, you know, we'll get that back to you in a day or two.
Mm-hmm.
But if it's going to take, if it's something that we're not really sure about, it's going to take a little bit longer.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to send it around to everybody that we have on our team, and it could take a week or two.
Mm-hmm. It's just a matter of how complicated it may be. Another thing, too, another question I think we had. I'm sure, and it sounds like with the form, that you guys fill out a form with every piece of evidence you get. It sounds like you're going to let the person who submitted this to you know what you may have found, like the things that you found that there were, how would you say, earmarks to what you guys come to your conclusion with. Am I correct?
Absolutely, yeah, of course. That's really the key. We want to help people learn how to pick it out on their own. So we're absolutely going to let everybody know why we think what we do and what can cause that particular anomaly in a photograph or EVP or video.
Excellent, excellent. And this is a really cool little project. I like this a lot.
Yeah, area sounds interesting because you're taking on a lot, though, but
it's a lot of work.
I'm impressed, very impressed.
We can only do what we can do, but we're planning on, doing as much as we can.
And I like the fact that, in the report you're going to be saying, this, and this are the reasons, so watch for that in your other... In other photos.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's educational too. That's what I like about that too. Is it's educational? It isn't just like you guys are sending him something back, going, "No, it's not a ghost," or something like that, right?
I mean, nope,
there's
not.
No. Give him the reasons why you came to your conclusions, Kevin. Let's take a quick break, okay? Let's take a quick break.
And while we're on break, co.ghostinvestigations.com. There's no www in front, so co.ghostinvestigations.com. That's Kevin's website. We'll be back with more from Kevin Cokeville at Ghostly Talk right after the break. Ghostly Talk Paranormal Talk Show will make history again on Sunday, June 25th from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. Eastern Time.
Be sure to tune in on Sunday, June 25th with our prophecy panel.
Jill Dane,
Scott Christensen,
Cattell, Derek White Skycloud,
Victor Baines,
and Homie 3.
It will be a night to remember on Sunday, June 25th from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time here on Ghostly Talk with Prophecy Night Part 2.
For more information, visit www.ghostlytalk.com.
I'm gonna go. Hey, this is Brian Hunwell with the Atlantic Paranormal Society, and you're listening to Ghostly Talk. Stay tuned and make sure you don't pull another one of those Dude Runner episodes like I did.
Finest smelling paranormal books I have ever come across.
Really?
Ambrose pointed this out on break. For some reason, we heard the line, "I want you to smell Troy Taylor."
Give Troy Taylor a good sniffing.
So I'm like, of course, I don't know too many people that wouldn't turn their heads
and wonder what was going on.
Exactly, especially when you hear a wonderful name like Troy Taylor of that sort.
A good sniffing.
Well, yeah, a good sniffing in Troy Taylor. I've heard weird things put together in the same sentence, but that's another thing I never thought I'd hear together.
I thought I was in an episode of, like, I Love Lucy or something.
Yeah, ironically, I never questioned it. I just sniffed.
She grabbed the book. Well, I saw this with my own eyes. Bunny grabs the book, holds it up to her nose, and goes... And I thought, well, that's something you don't see every day.
Well, yeah, you think maybe, you know, if you go back to your child, it was a scratch and sniff book.
Mm-hmm.
But this, obviously, Troy Taylor's Beyond the Grave is not a scratch and sniff book.
No, it's not, but it's the best smelling book I've ever smelled.
It smells great.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it does.
It's like a variation of Old Spice, which on its own is kind of not very good.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a softer edge to it, and it's lovely. I have to say, it's a wonderful scent.
It's very incense like.
I feel like that guy from Red Dragon who was smelling the envelope. Red Dragon. Lovely. That was a wonderful fragrance. So, so we're going to pimp. That gives us a chance to pimp Troy Taylor's book, Beyond the Grave. The History of America's Most Haunted Graveyards.
Come and buy it and sniff it.
It's a great smelling book.
Well, we're going to see him, Bonnie. We're going to see him at,
we're not going to see him for very long,
I'm going to ask him to smell my book.
And he's going to get a restraining order out on us, and it'll be great.
Yeah.
At the Eastern Paranormal Conference,
coming
up July
17th.
July
21st, I'm sorry.
Yep.
Wow.
Yeah. So,
well, if Kevin hasn't hung up, we have Kevin Cogue. Oh, good, good. We have Kevin Cogebill of GI Colorado, Ghost Investigations Colorado.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Their website is co.ghostinvestigations.com. And you notice, he's asking people to send in their evidence.
Yeah.
And admirable, kind of scary proposition, if you ask me, because if I were asking, I would get flooded.
Well, I know. That's what I'm saying. I know, like I said before, if I was like, when I do the little email Scott L. here, you know, for something.
And boom.
Yeah. I spend the next week trying to fish through my email.
Well, here's the thing. There is indeed one photo that I would like, I think, to get with Moonlit. To ask if we can submit, I think it's Moonlit who has the photo of the scene across the river of these people who are out of time.
Yeah,
because
I know what you're talking about.
It's an amazing, amazing photo, and that needs to be looked at.
Definitely,
it's like a time slip. Mm. Yeah, which is one of my favorite topics. Good.
We'll have to definitely send that in to you, Kevin. One thing.
Well, I was going to say, we're putting the website together right now. It's www.areaparanormal.com.
Okay.
But anybody who wants to send their stuff in can email it to us just at areaparanormal@gmail.com.
Okay. That sounds great. We'll make sure we get the word out for that, too.
Right.
I'd like to see a bunch of people submit, so you're buried in work and you can do anything else for the next
time. And then we'll email you and say, hey, you want to come back on Ghostly Talk? And you'll be like, I don't have time.
Nope.
Sorry. Too busy. can't do it. Can't do it. Kevin, you obviously have a lot more experience than Doug or myself in working this field. And I know one of the first things I learned when I started as a young man back in, like,
In 2002.
Yeah. When I was a very young man. Well, it's before I hit 30, so, you know, I mean, I was younger then. I learned this thing called group dynamics and stuff like that. This is a new experience for me, and luckily I was working with a fine guy like the guy sitting next to me right now, Doug, who kind of got me through it and made me not kill people. Let's just say that. I didn't kill anybody.
It's always good to have someone like that.
Yeah, yeah, he really kind of kept me leveled out, and, I just went out and, kicked a cat or something like that. It straightened me out. But that's one thing we wanted to talk about a little bit tonight is you obviously have a lot of experience in this, and I'm wondering what kind of pointers you people, because obviously with the rise of media right now, and we both know what I'm about to talk about, there's just so many shows out there now based on the paranormal, ghost hunting, people out there in the field working, discovering things, trying to find things, trying to pick up evidence and whatnot. A lot of people have been inspired. A lot of people have been inspired to start their own groups. And I've seen a lot of groups start up and then down the same week, it seems sometimes, because, and I think I know a lot of these people going through. What are some things people can do when they're starting out to maybe make transition, I'd say, a little bit easier? Do you have any pointers for these people?
Well, I mean, there's plenty of resources out there. The internet is a great place, and there are, some specific places to go to that you can, really, really find out the information you need. The thing you need to do is decide what you really want to do. Some groups are, more about just the scare, and they want to go out and have some fun, and, that's all fine and good. Or, there's the other teams that are more about trying to study exactly what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
And, call them paranormal investigators. That's my designation between the two.
Mm-hmm.
Once you figure that out, there's plenty of places you can go. There's forums and websites that where you can go and talk to people that are, that have been doing this for a while,
mm-hmm.
and can give you some pointers. GhostStudy.com is a great one. Or, you can go over to, you can email teams in your area.
Mm-hmm.
It's another great thing. If hopefully they're willing to help you. If they're not, you don't want to talk to them anyway.
Well, that's what I did back in the day. That's what I did in the day before I hooked up with Doug and we started the show up and stuff. I just was like, in chat rooms and stuff like that, or on the IM thing, and I'd find somebody that was interested in paranormal and go, hey, you've done this a couple of times. I'm looking to start doing this. Can you give me some pointers? And there's a lot of reputable people out there that I think can really give you some good information.
Absolutely.
And obviously, yeah, you're one of them. We'll say that. You're one of them. So, is it cool for people to email you and ask for advice, too?
Oh, they do. And, yeah, absolutely. I'm happy to help if you need help. I've got a lot of emails. Where do I get equipment? I'm starting out. I'll help you out, if you need to know what you need to do. Yeah, email us at GI Colorado, and we'll be more than happy to help you out.
Well, you cited a really interesting point, too, a couple minutes ago, as far as people that are just getting started now. There are, I think, two types of people when you start out in this field. There are the first group where they are the thrill seekers. They've watched Poltergeist over and over again. They've watched,
mm-hmm.
House on Haunted Hill or whatever they're out there. And they're expecting these exact same things to happen to them when they go to a haunted house. I think everybody's sitting here in the haunted winery, and I'm sure you sitting over there on your phone will know that just isn't the case usually. Sometimes it can be kind of boring. It can be very boring.
Oh, yeah. It's not, it's something like you see on these shows. That's something you need to expect. You're going to be doing a lot of sitting around and just taking pictures of nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And leaving equipment in places and walking away and just observing.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah, it's just not that way.
My suggestion for people that is buy a box of dominoes. Learn how to play dominoes.
And make sure you like who you're with.
Well, that's... we'll get into that, too.
Uh-huh. Yeah, we had a couple of interesting
early on. That's part of it, too. Doug, you can probably lend some light on this, too. We've worked with some people back day that literally, I've said, look, we've worked with them in the past, and we went, to the next investigation, and this party wanted to come, too. And I'm like, look, man, this person... They kind of give them a negative energy to the environment, I think. They kind of make me uptight, and I concentrate on what I'm doing. So I think maybe they should, go there after us. I don't know. I'd like them to go there, too. But, I mean, that's a big thing, too. I mean, have you experienced this yourself also, Kevin, where there's just some people you just can't work with?
Well, yeah, absolutely. This, this field, I guess you'd call it, really it attracts sometimes a macabre element.
Yeah.
People are just into being dark and creepy. You can't wear that. that's been one of my biggest problems. You get out in the field with those people, and they're more interested in doing any but what myself and my team do, which is, you know, trying to study the environment.
Mm-hmm.
They want to, you know, run around and sit on gravestone. Yeah, I've run across plenty of those people.
They want to get their latest MySpace picture or something like that so they can be cool, I guess. I that's what I'm thinking. That's what I've seen with a lot of people. Well, you don't talk about Doug, don't you?
Right, and I think that there is that element out there. I think that most people who end up living this long to a ghostly talk are mm-hmm. probably really into it,
well,
though.
Because it does happen.
I hope so.
That negative side, though, wasn't exactly what I was referring to.
What's that?
You're obviously spending a lot of time with these people.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to have a lot of downtime while you're recording things of that nature. If mm-hmm. you can't talk to and get along with these people, you're not going to enjoy what you're doing.
No, no.
And you know what I said? There's actually been a couple of us. We've had, what, three different ghost hunting groups now
that we've been
affiliated with. And there was this lady who was just absolutely phenomenal. I thought she was just absolutely fantastic. She came to one of the, I think, she came to a party.
Christmas party.
Was it a Christmas party? And But the thing is we weren't her type of people. So we're serious. We're serious about the paranormal.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely serious. But when we're not doing paranormal stuff, we are
pretty goofy.
Pretty goofy. we don't act our ages, or we act, you know, the opposite of our ages.
Yeah,
and
quite the opposite.
And we're quite characters. And she was, I think, looking for something a lot more serious.
Mm-hmm.
And I told her in emails, I said, you know, here's the thing. You we're not for you. We're not the right ghost group for you,
mm-hmm.
right? I think I've proven my dedication to the paranormal over the years.
We prove it every week.
Okay, every single week in our fifth, I'm absolutely serious about the paranormal. Mm.
But you don't. I tell people this all the time. Your work seriously, absolutely. Take what we're doing here seriously. We take ghost talk very seriously. The show itself, we take it very seriously. But as people, we don't take ourselves 100% serious all the time.
Right, we want to have fun. But she wasn't like that. She wanted to be extremely serious all the time, which is fine.
Oh, yeah. Totally.
And there are groups out there who do it and who are very serious all the time. And they have their fun in their own different ways. Mm-hmm. It just didn't get along with our ways of having fun.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, a ride a minute kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But the I told her, keep looking. And the last I heard from her, she had found a group
mm-hmm.
here in the Detroit metro area
mm-hmm.
that was for her.
Yeah.
And I thought, that's absolutely phenomenal. Keep looking for the group of people that you can belong to and
yeah,
belong with
totally.
And talk to and get along with and go out on long investigations with.
Mm-hmm.
And as a matter of fact, I know that – do you remember Robin from Robin Bellamy from – Toronto.
Mm-hmm.
She was at both of the Mothman festivals that we were at.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Her group is very, very serious.
Okay.
They're extremely serious, and they really do want to get to the, you know, get into the paranormal, get the truth, do the experiments and all that stuff.
Mm.
But they're not in their downtime, in their other times, it's not like us.
Mm-hmm.
Where, you know, we're hitting each other on the head and, you know,
throwing stuff at each other.
Grabbing
each other's butts.
We're notorious. They're very serious and even in their downtime, mm. I look at it as very serious. But at the same time, they have a different kind of fun than I do. That's all that is.
Kevin.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, we have a guest.
poor guy.
Sorry, Kevin.
No, I didn't mean it like that. I'm just curious of how you approach this, Kevin. I mean, as far as your outtake, I mean, are you – when you go on an investigation or on your way to the investigation, I mean, is it like we're down to business or is it kind of – I mean, how do you approach it yourself?
It depends. I mean, I take my team on little hunts too, go up to the old, you know, minor cemeteries and that kind of stuff, just to have some fun. And then, of course, that's very, very loose, very open. Go ahead and do what you like, and if we catch anything, that's great.
Mm-hmm.
But when we go on investigations, when somebody calls us and invites us into their home or business, we are all business.
Mm-hmm.
Because, I mean, I can't imagine going into somebody's home. These people are trusting you.
Oh, yeah.
And you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing, and you're making them feel, you know, ill at ease.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it depends on the situation.
Well, yeah, and I think that's
I gave the wrong impression of when we're in an investigation in a home or business, of course, we're 100% on target.
I think what it comes down to is a lot of common sense. Like, a lot of things come down to where, you know, you pick your situations. In our case, we always picked our situations correctly. I know we have picked our situations correctly, where when we do go on a serious investigation, we get in there, set the equipment up, we do our thing, and until it's time to kind of let our hair down, let's say, we're all business. I know we are.
Which is the Denny's after, well, the, or the Denny's, Big D, yeah. I'm sorry, the Big D after after the investigation. That's the time to let your hair
down. Yeah. So, I mean, I think we agree on that, Kevin, that there is that element where you have to make a judgment call. And it really is, and I think we're really beating the heck out of this particular subject. But it needs to be explained for people that don't know this stuff. I think it's really important for them to know this.
Well, they're going
to
run into it.
Well, one thing that they have to understand, it's really important. When someone calls you up and you're going to their home of business, you need to take into account that these people, most of the time, are scared.
Mm-hmm.
You need to make them feel as comfortable as possible. They have you there because there's something going on, whatever it may be, that is frightening them. Mm-hmm. And is making their, you know, life not what it should be. So take that into account and, you know, conduct yourself with a little more respect, if not to the situation, to at least the people that have called you.
Well, yeah. I mean, I hate to say it again. I mean, this has happened in the past where we've been to places where we've said, look, I always tell my motto has always been, don't be afraid of the dead people. Be afraid of the living people. That's what you have to worry about, I think. That's the big thing, I think. A lot of places I've been to, though, where you still there, Kevin?
Yeah, I'm
still there. Okay, he's a little...
Sounds like he entered a windstorm.
Yeah, I think... Are you in a tornado right now?
Yeah, I turned my back on it. Hopefully it's going to be a little better here.
Okay.
Oh, good. We have so few minutes left, yeah. Kevin. I want to find out some interesting things about you and your group.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So it's quiz time.
Oh, boy.
Okay.
Your favorite haunted location out there where you are?
Out where we are. Actually, I'm a fan of Central City Cemetery. It's a real neat old miner cemetery that was built on top of a collapsed mine in which 13 people were unfortunately killed. And it's a very heavy feeling out there. It's one of those places that you walk into and you just go, oh, there's something going on here.
Mm-hmm.
That's my favorite place. I'm a California native, so I've only been out in Colorado for a couple of years.
Mm-hmm.
But the place I've been so far, that's definitely my favorite. And it's, you know, if you talk to the local police, you can go there. You don't have to have special permission or go during the day.
Oh, I think you just...
It's really great.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you. But I know I saw these antlers pop up over by Doug. That means what that means usually is you've touched a soft spot on him. And that's the,
okay.
Well, we would call that here as a public haunt.
Yes, exactly. Something that anybody can go to.
There's quite a few out in the area around Denver. I mean, most of the time, they're very open to it. You know, there's a lot of urban legend surrounding it, so the police, instead of constantly trying to deal with it and kick people out, just kind of accepted it. And if you just call and ask permission, they'll let you go.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah.
So you do have to go ask, hey, we want to check this place out. You know, can you give us...
We'll just call them up and say, you know, hey, this is Kevin from Ghost Investigations. I'm planning on bringing, you know, 7 people to Central City Cemetery tonight between 8 o'clock and midnight. And they write it down and take license plate numbers and say, okay, we'll send a patrolman around every once in a while to make sure you guys are fine.
Well, that's another important point, though, too, for people that are just getting started with this. I know a lot of cemeteries, even in our area, if you just talk to the police, talk to the authorities here, and let them know what you're doing, they generally will not have a problem with it. You explain to them what you're doing, and in our case, we just flash them our ghostly talk card and tell them what we do, and we get a couple more listeners that way. It's kind of cool that way. And they go, oh, okay, that's great. And we've been in situations where we've been approached by authorities, and and that's another thing, too, I think people should know, is you should have some type of identification on you. I mean, not just like your driver's license or something like that. I mean, some type of official you know, some type of laminate. I know people, a lot of people do laminates and stuff like that, that have the name of their group or whatever, whoever they're affiliated with, so they can show this to the officer, where it isn't just something like you wrote on a piece of scratch paper, like, I'm part of the ghost hunting group or whatever.
I tried that once. It doesn't work.
It don't work very well. Yeah. We tried it. No, we actually have our business cards. We go, hi, we're from this radio show. We study this stuff on a pretty regular basis. And we were interested in, hey, can you please give us some information? And 9 times out of 10, the officer or the authority figure that's there will start telling you stories of things they've seen, whether it be for it or against it, whatever it may be, the haunt is in that situation. They'll start telling you stories too. So if you
we had one of our investigators go up there, same place I was just talking about. Mm-hmm. She was actually pulled over because she had expired tags. But the officer asked her what she was doing, and kind of gave her a little hard time. You're up here ghost hunting, aren't you? And she told him, well, no, actually, I'm just scouting it out, because we always scout out our locations before we go.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to be up here on Saturday. And his eyes popped open, and he said, hold on, ran back to his car, popped his trunk, and brought over a photo album of pictures he had taken out in the cemetery.
Oh, wow. How cool was that?
It was one of the police officers in Central City. And he didn't give her a ticket, let her go, and
she did get
very excited.
She did indeed, though, update her tags, right?
Oh, of course.
Oh,
of course.
Excellent, excellent.
Yeah, you don't want to do that twice. You don't want to deal with that twice.
What's the most paranormally energetic? Like have you had things thrown at you, or got just incredible EVPs, or seen a ghost? What's the most paranormally coup d'etat that you've run into?
I've of course, as we all have, and we chalk it up to our eyes playing tricks on us and seeing, peripheral entities. I've seen one full-bodied apparition in my life, and that's actually what got me interested in everything, is why I'm still doing it to this day.
Mm-hmm.
We've had, huh?
Oh, I just said, huh? Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Sorry.
We've had stones thrown at us. I've been hit in the back with a rock. I don't know if there's someone else hiding in the bushes, but
mm-hmm.
we sure didn't see him.
Mm-hmm.
We've gotten great EVPs. We just got one recently that was really good. I was actually up with another team at Lafayette Cemetery, and there's a grave up there. It's the site of a popular urban legend in Colorado. But there were big rose bushes planted over this man's grave since he was buried in 1918. And when we went up there, the rose bushes, the city had taken them out the week before. When we went and reviewed evidence, she actually sent it out to me because she didn't know what it was, and we cleaned it up for a little bit. You can hear a couple of the investigators talking. In the background, you can hear a very clear voice say, "Where did the roses go?" And that was no one that was with us. It was a raspy old man's voice. That was pretty exciting. So that's the best thing we've gotten lately.
It sounds like there's a lot of places. And the best part about it, I like, though, is that there's a lot of public places, too.
Right.
That's what's really cool. Yep. I like that the most.
Just be sure you ask permission.
Exactly.
Ask permission, definitely. That's another big rule for the beginners out there.
Yep.
Don't go tromping through some place late at night. Because, I mean, God, if I see somebody walking around my neighborhood at like 12 o'clock at night, I'm alerted. They're just walking around.
Right.
They could be going up to the store to get something to drink. You never know. I mean, even I get alerted. Now, if you get a group of people that are walking around a cemetery, a place of rest, at 12 o'clock at night or 12 in the morning or whatever, definitely somebody's going to be calling the cops on you. They're going to come out there and visit you.
It's a good way to get yourself arrested for trespassing.
Absolutely.
Right.
Absolutely. Kevin, we need to thank you so much for coming on the show.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, so much. Definitely get that. What's the website again for area?
The email address.
Yeah.
Okay, the website is www.areaparanormal.com. And the email address is areaparanormal@gmail.com.
Excellent. Cool.
Excellent. So then
we'll keep monitoring
you when you get some really interesting stuff that you can talk about on the air. Come back and talk about it, okay?
We'd love to have you back.
Hang on the line for us, okay?
Yeah, hang on the line. Don't go anywhere.
Hang on the line. Don't go anywhere. Because we have to close the show. We have to make way for Full Moon Radio.
We're getting more and more paper on the table, I noticed. There's like piles of paper everywhere now. It's starting to look like a real office, I guess.
Yeah, I know. Well, but it's not organized.
We're supposed to be like going paperless, though. I thought we were like high-tech here or something.
Well, we only have one computer.
Yeah.
We're stuck with one computer.
What are you looking for, man?
Oh, my closing show notes.
We have closing show notes?
I do.
Doug wrote them out.
Oh, I wrote them out
when
he
first got here.
Look at this guy.
I would like to thank Susan Beauvais of South Jersey Paranormal Research. I want to thank Stacy Allen McGee, Allen, our new friend, of Appalachian Ghost Walk.
Appalachian, yeah.
And, of course, Kevin Cogville of GI Colorado. Mm-hmm. And I have to thank everybody who listens, because I think that's just phenomenal that you keep tuning in, and hopefully you're learning stuff.
Oh, yeah.
If not, email me, or if so, email
We love the feedback, and you can people can see that you see the things we do. I hope the people that do email us with feedback notice the changes we throw in place. Or we love to get your feedback on things, whether it's evil or it's nice. we still take them all the same.
Speaking of feedback, don't forget to email Havoc. Go to our website, www.ghostlytalk.com, and email Havoc. He's our news guy. And at
havocgtnews@gmail.com
suggesting news stories and things like that that you would like to see on the
banner contest. Don't forget that either, too.
Banner contest is on our website. Mm-hmm. I'd like to thank Bonnie, and, of course, with that.
Bonnie's been coming through hard. We got to give her big props.
Yes.
She's been coming through big time with our field reporters, coming here and helping out. She has full access to the haunted winery now, too, so she can come here and do as she pleases, which I'm very scared to think about, but we'll worry about that later on.
So now we're going to make way for Full Moon Radio. This has been Ghostly Talk, and I have been Doug.
I have been Scott L.
I'm still Bonnie.
We'll see you next week at 6 p.m. Eastern Time.
I need to go someplace where a man can think. I need to go someplace where a man can think.